Yeah, good evening, everyone. I'll try that again. Hope we're all safe and well. I think there's a few relief people out there now. We've had some rain finally over this part of the world. The biggest challenge about being asked to do tonight is not actually doing a talk. It's actually to keep it to 15 minutes. Because those of you who listened to me and Stu before going in the past, that's going to be the biggest challenge out of all of it. Try and keep it that short. So I'll crack on. Those of you who are fortunate enough to be carrying out any work on your grounds, and I see on social media that there's been plenty of you. What we will always ensure that you is follow the government guidelines. If you're not sure what they are, they're on the link on the screen. Should you be permitted to work outdoors, either as a lone worker or part of a team. And what we've also created at the GMA, the Grounds Management Association, formerly the IOG, is a really good and interactive web page where all the details can be found. So I encourage you, if you've not actually been on it yet, it's open to non-members as well. This will be updated as and when we get further updates from the relevant national governing bodies. And all the information on there is valid over this date of the webinar, the 30th of April. So what we're trying to do then, what can you do in this interim period to try and keep the ground ticking over? Normally this time of year, you'd be square height would be down to around 10, 12 mil. What you should be trying to look to do there is raise the height of cut-up, ideally between 18 and 22 mil if possible. Outfields again to around 20, 25 mil. This is solely aimed at the squares because obviously they're going to play a more crucial role moving forward in getting back to play as and when play starts, as opposed to the outfields. And to be honest with you, most of your outfield maintenance will just consist of cutting, in my experience, over the summer months. So why should we increase the height of cut? So we increase the height of cut to help reduce plant stress because it will encourage greater root growth, which means more access to water and nutrients in the soil, and more leaf means more food produced by photosynthesis. Longer grass will also encourage root length, which will improve structural development in the soil, help hold together any layers within the soil. It also results in a more uniform and predictable drying of the square pitch when it is prepared, which should make pitch performance more uniform as well. Very crucial if you can do any work, as I say. Probably these first two will be the most crucial. Certainly, number two, what we come on to is thatch control. Grass leaves, we're all familiar with thatch, I hope we are. Grass leaves and sheaves do die off on a regular basis, and these will build up at the base of the grass plant. Keep this healthy, you need to keep the base clean on a periodic basis. This can be carried out by verticutting, stress verticutting, not scarification. You do not want to be scarifying or going into the soil surface this time of year. This will scar the surface and it may affect play as and when it resumes. As the soil dries, it will shrink and you end up with a loose, dusty surface. Stick to raking, brushing, verticutting. So be cautious of scarifying or verticutting when the ground conditions are too dry as well, because normally they'd be under stress if they are too dry and you don't want to add to that stress. So control of thatch is crucial moving forward. And then we come on to fertilising. Be warned, fertilising will encourage growth. It's not rocket science. Fertiliser may still be necessary depending on the surface in order to maintain the sort of relatively dense and resilient turf needed for cricket. Nutrients will cycle naturally in the soils. However, there is little need to fertilise other than to keep things ticking over, keeping the grass plant alive, basically, or if there are any signs of nutrients deficiency. So if your grass is bright yellow, then there's quite a good chance it needs a feed. In terms of rolling, if you kind of haven't done any pre-season rolling by now, you've kind of missed the boat a bit, I would imagine, given most ground conditions. That's not to say that later on in the season you cannot resume some pre-season rolling as of when the ground conditions allow, if there's enough moisture in the surface and the conditions are pliable. You can still cross-roll as of when moving forward to sort of make up for lack of pre-season rolling if you've not carried any out. Also, if you do resume playing, then obviously your pitch preparation, if you've not carried out any pre-season rolling, you're going to need to increase your length of time when it comes to pitch preparation to allow for not any pre-season rolling being carried out. But like I say, hopefully most of you have got on and done pre-season by now and consolidated the soils in underneath the ground. But like I say, be very wary exactly when and as and when you roll, because it's critical in terms of what the outcome is. It comes to rolling, I always stress it's quality over quantity. But be very wary, certainly if the squares are too dry and you are thinking about rolling, it can lead to other underlying issues moving forwards. One of them especially is root breaks. Local spot repairs to the playing surfaces if needs be. Where resources permit, take time to repair the areas that have not germinated. I'm sure you agree that if you tried putting some seed down the last 6 to 8 weeks, because it's been so dry, it certainly struggled to germinate. Hopefully this rain will be a kick on. So if you need to actually do some spot repairs on the square, it should be light renovations by hand forking or machine if a large area, or a ferret or a hand tool or whatever. A light fertilizer application, overseed and light top dressing of the thin areas, followed up by regular watering to aid germination and establishment. This kind of goes on hand in hand with weed control. I'm sure the soil contains many viable weeds and grass seeds. Some will germinate, normally need space to do so. If you can minimize bare areas and brush off worm grass quickly, invasion will be slowed down. Weeds can have an effect on how the ball behaves. So ideally we'd be looking to, as you're cutting your squares, if you see a weed, just go along and plug it out and pick it out. And if need be, do some spot repairs on it. But this would kind of be your normal maintenance practice anyway. Ideally you shouldn't be sort of blanket spraying your whole square. The outfield obviously is a different matter, but like I say, the outfields are what they are. In terms of irrigation, I've seen a lot of people irrigating in the last few weeks. They say it's been one extreme to the other over this part of the world. So do you actually need to water? The water plays a major part in ensuring grass growth, especially during the establishment phase or of development following repairs or renovations. Irrigation should be carried out as and when indicated by weather conditions for the health of the grass plant. Consideration should also be given to irrigation for the potential of future cracking of the surface. However, do not over-irrigate. Too much water will affect the turf grass growth and may also affect the soil conditions to the extent that compaction occurs with subsequent maintenance operations. If your ability to irrigate is limited at the moment, which I imagine it would be, then just focus on those areas with the weakest turf grass growth or newly sown areas. I think that's covered everything. I'm sure a lot of people have seen a lot of power, a lot of annual meadow grass in the squares after the wet winter at the moment. So kind of the first two operations in terms of cutting and thatch control will probably be crucial moving forward. Then we come on to fit the clay. It's important that some form of reduced but regular maintenance work has been carried out. It should be returned to play during the period so that the gradual reduction in mowing height, say a 2 week period, can be achieved. A gradual increase in other maintenance activities, include fertiliser application, will help produce a suitable playing surface. Should go ahead to play again. The actual length of time needed to become fully playable and to what standard will depend on the condition of the square and actually what level you're playing on at the square. So the things you should look out for is concentrate on gradually reducing grass length, raking out moss, removing worm casts, reducing thatch and treating weeds. Rolling as part of pitch preparation, if needs be, we'll deal with compaction, consolidation. So they're the kind of key things we're looking out for. What I will say is, as of Monday, I personally am being furloughed. So I don't know if you've got the links to the guys' contact details within all the regions. What's good about today, it's mainly my area, so we've got CAMS, we've got Hunts, we've got Beds, we've got Suffolk, I think we have Norfolk as well. Pretty much all my region that covers in. Just on the list moving forward, like I say, if you've got any queries around ground-related issues or not sure, these guys are the sort of first port of call to fire any questions out. I'm sure they won't mind you asking questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question, basically. So if you're not sure, please contact these guys in the first instance and they should be able to advise you. Certainly when it comes to David in Suffolk, Mel and Alan in Cambridgeshire and Hunts, Jerry in Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire, but then also in Essex with the Ground Support Network. They've got a very good and proactive social media site. So if you've got any issues in terms of questions, please fire them via the social media site and I'm sure they'll get back to you at some point to answer the question. I think that's basically it for me. Like I say, if you are going to carry out any works, please follow the government guidelines at all times. Like I say, if you're not sure what they are, the GMA webpage is great. We've also got an interim fit for play document on cricket as well, not just cricket, all sports specific. So if you're not sure what to do, please have a look on there. And like I say, it's really good information, useful information. It will be updated as and when required. So that's about it for me. So that's, yeah, just 10 minutes. That's all right.
Well done, Phil. Thank you very much. And obviously, we all wish you the very best while you're on furlough and hope to see you back very soon. Just one or two people have started trying to put hands up for questions. If you've got questions, can you please try and use the chat box? You just got to type the question on there. If you can't do that, contact us afterwards and we'll answer that question in another way. So apologies, but we're not taking calls directly through this seminar. Over to you, Stuart. You need to unmute, Stuart.
Is it? Am I on mute?
You're all right.
Am I all right? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. Hi, everyone. I was hoping Phil was going to go on a bit longer there, to be honest with you. So he's pretty much covered a lot of what I was going to talk about. But here at the county ground, I'm the only one working. All my other lads have been furloughed. Down at Billericay, our satellite ground, we've only got one bloke working at the moment as well. Dan's keeping on top of that. It's not been too bad for the first month, but now we've had rain, everything's gone a bit crazy. So what I'll do is I'll just run through what we've been doing, have a little chat at the end about one or two bits and pieces. I might ask Phil a couple of questions as well, and we'll see what time we've got left for questions afterwards. So what we've been doing here is we did prepare two nets and a practice pitch for the start of the season. We was due to start on the 26th of March outside. We was ready and raring to go on that. We was going to use our new hybrid pitches, which we had installed in November. We was quite excited about that. So we didn't get to use them, but they've rolled out beautifully and looked like absolute belters they did. So we was a bit disappointed to not use them. But at the moment, we're cutting the outfield at 18 mil and the square at 15. So a little bit below what Phil was recommending for his, but we are on it all the time. I'm here pretty much 24/7. I live on site, so we are on top of the maintenance for that. I've managed to get all my pre-season rolling done, but I will still do the odd roll maybe once a month just to try and pack it back down from where we've done irrigation. And it's just, you know, we've had a little bit of expansion in the top few millimetres. Like Phil says, just do a cross roll just to keep on top of that, because hopefully we will be playing cricket at some stage during the season. Had a number of repairs to do over the winter. We've had some problems with birds, really, not pecking for leather jackets and that. We seem to have a flock of seagulls nest on the ground, and they do quite a bit of damage just pecking around. And also we have magpies that are pulling out the hybrid strands on our square as well. So we're chasing them off and trying to make sure that we've got full grass coverage. As Phil says, it's just really a case of just dimple seed with a fork or something, bit of soil, bit of seed, and just make sure you keep it moist. And we've seen it all come through now in the last few days. Watering, we've done a lot of watering because we started covering from the beginning of March. The square got very dry. We had 2 mil in about 45 days, I think we had. But recently we've had about near an inch in the last 3 days. So we've gone from one extreme to the other, as Phil says. We've been trying to water a lot now and again rather than bits and pieces, because meadowgrass has been a massive problem. Speaking to other county groundsmen around the country, it seems to be everywhere, up and down, from Durham down to Taunton, across to Kent, everywhere. It's covering the whole area. To counter that, I'm doing quite a lot of ultra grooming, which is just slightly heavier than a verticut. We've got one of the electric machines that's got the unit in there. So we're doing that. I'm doing that once a week at the moment. Generally, you would scarify and verticut your rye grasses once every 4-5 weeks at the very most. So you want to keep on top of that. That's very important. But the meadowgrass seems to be thriving. It's enjoying the winter was ideal for it. You know, we're all still feeding. We're still getting that bit of water all the time. It's just ideal for this the low low-rooting grasses and that. So we're working on a feed program where we're just putting down a light feed, a 4-0-8 with a little bit of iron and a bit of seaweed. But that is just pretty much all we're putting down on the square. I've put my slow release down on the outfield, but that's more of an autumn winter, and it just keeps it ticking over really as a base feed for putting liquids in during the rest of the summer. But I'm going to try and cut back the amount I do, mainly because we're just trying to keep on top of the grass cutting. We put some of the Primo Max down. I don't know how many of you would have access to that. I've used it a couple of times on the outfield already, and I actually put some on the square, which I've not done before, but, you know, we're looking at not playing until the middle of June, end of July, beginning of July at the very earliest. I mean, I'm talking the middle of June for having nets, and I just want to try and keep on top of the grass. So we're just trying something out. We'll see how it goes. I don't think I'd use it very often because it becomes more crowny, the grass does, and that's something obviously we don't want in the playing pitches. So we're trying one or two little things, but the poa is the biggest problem for us, and we're trying to keep on top of that with a lack of feeding, not watering too often, ultra grooming as often as we can. It's one of the reasons why I've kept the grass down a little bit shorter on the square, just to try and cut it, just stop it becoming more of a problem. The Primo should hopefully control the seed heads. But I walked across it today and, you know, I can see it's all starting to come. So I'm hoping that will stop it now I've sprayed it on Monday. We'd be looking at a 2-week return to cricket. You know, I'll call my lads in 2 weeks beforehand. We'll get them in. We'll start our preparation, covering, you know, and then the boys can come in and have their nets. Really, that's pretty much where we are at the moment. The ground looked a bit sorry for itself last week with that dry weather. It's perked up quite a lot now. You know, we're unlucky. We haven't got any irrigation on the outfield. I've got a tap and a hose, same as you lot have, to do my water on the square. So that's a constant moving hoses and sprinklers and that sort of thing about, which is a pain in the backside. But like I say, we're looking at July as a start date. We're just keeping it ticking over. We're just keeping on top of it. But the poa is the biggest issue for us at the moment. Just one or two of the things that we've discussed amongst ourselves as head groundsmen around the country. You know, we're concerned, obviously, with staff retention. We're concerned with losing people, not just at counties, but all the way through the game, that people won't be kept on. Because the money's not coming into the sport. We think that the top and the very bottom of the sport, you know, like the county grounds and the local villages where they play the odd game here and there, it won't affect an awful lot because, you know, the counties will still carry on with their end-of-season renos and that sort of thing. The villages, that they don't hardly do anything to them, most of them ones anyway, but there's probably 75-80% in the middle where there's a real danger that we could have some issues in the next 18 months with regards to maintenance of the squares. You know, I mean, everyone's probably cut back on the amount of maintenance they're doing. End of season renovations, that's going to be a big topic that comes up shortly, whether people can afford to do it or not. I think if we're carrying on with the regular scarifying through the season and then try and hit it hard as you can with the scarifiers that you've got, or if you've got a contractor comes in and does the work for you, then, you know, that should keep you ticking over and should keep you in a good spot for next year. It may be that the following year there's more drastic action required, more heavier scarifying. But I think if people can keep on top of their work that they're doing with the scarifying, especially the scarifying and the verticutting, then they shouldn't be in too bad a position, you know, as Phil said, for the end of the season. Things that you can do this time of the year with regards to, you know, with the layoff that a lot of people have, you know, it's a great time to go up your ground. You can take some samples, have a look at what's under the surface, you know, get your own knowledge going, get improved of your own ground. You can look at the outfield, look at your drainage on the outfield, look at your square, look at if there's any thatch layers in there, any kind of layering. You know, all the things that pretty much what Phil would come and do, and those sort of things. You can get your own understanding from having a look yourself. You don't need any fancy equipment for it. Just a big sharp knife. You go out and take a bit of a core out up the side of a pitch, which won't interfere with any kind of play. You know, what you can learn from that yourselves is immense, really. And then you can go online. There's loads of information online. You know, there's pitch care, there's bigger, there's the GMA or IOG as it was. There's turf care blog. There's loads of different places to get information from now. You know, and it's a great opportunity, really, to increase your knowledge of your grounds and that. You know, another way is talking to other groundsmen. You know, I think we've got 40-odd people on here today. You know, we're covering quite a big area, but, you know, with the way technology is nowadays, it's a lot easier to be able to talk to people. You know, we're having meetings for everyone in the country yesterday afternoon with all the head groundsmen. And you're hearing the different situations that they're in. You know, Vic up in Durham, he's still struggling with the weather. He had frosts a couple of days ago. He's still struggling to get grass growth up there, you know, even with the decent weather that we've had down in this part of the country. So there's opportunities, you know, to improve your own knowledge and to improve your knowledge of your grounds. So I think that, and there's also the ECB site, of course, with all their videos on there and their information that they've got going there. So I think if we're ready for any questions, Graham?
I think Arfan, you got some there?
Yeah, I'll start off with Nadim, a bit of a scenario if regarding council grounds. If no pre-season work has been performed, how long will pitch prep required to play cricket on the square? Phil, I don't know if you want to touch on that or Stuart.
Personally, I think it depends how intense they want to, how much time they want to spend on it. If it's the council, you know, if they decide they've got other things that, you know, that discussion we had the other day, I found that, you know, if there's other things that they want to spend money on and they want to concentrate on, then I'm afraid cricket grounds will be very far down the list. But, you know, if they get on all hands on deck, you know, a good scarifying, get the grass cut down over the course of a couple of weeks, a few passes with the roller, and they wouldn't be a million miles away from where they are now, where they should be anyway. So I don't think, you know, I think if they do spend the time on, and some of the things that we've been doing up the East End of London, we're trying to get local volunteers to help out with doing some of the work. You know, this could be an ideal time for them to step into the breach, really, and fill those gaps where the council can't.
Well, that's true. Throw this one to Jago to mix it up a bit. Can you overdo verticutting on the square? Is weekly a reasonable approach?
I'd say personally, no. Look to be doing it once a month. Like I say, you can overdo it. Depends on what type of machine you've got. But as a general rule of thumb, you should be looking to do it at least a minimum once a month, to be honest with you. Because we're not doing it in pitch prep, where we'd get rid of the most unwanted grass species when we're cutting out and producing pitches and that. Maybe if you're fortunate enough and given the time and what situation we're in, maybe try to look to increase that to twice a month, just to try and keep the thatch and power under control. But yeah, I certainly won't be doing it weekly, to be honest with you.
I am doing it weekly, it's only I'm just trying to get on top of the power, to be honest with you. Once I've got on top of that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, then I'll go back to doing it every 3 or 4 weeks then.
Perfect. Phil, I'm going to ask you this as well, mate. As it's clear, we will have a maximum of half a season, possibly none at all. Will it be necessary to do a full renovation at the end of this season, or can we get by with the regime of winter verticutting, brushing and fertilisation?
Well, I knew I'd be asked this question. I mean, at the moment,
mate.
At the moment, we're not making any comment on end of season renovation. There's so many variables to be involved between now and then, whether we get back any play, whether you've done any good renovations at the end of last season, what's your grass coverage like? I mean, all we can say is in the interim time frame is just try and keep it ticking over, keep the thatch under control by regular verticane. You know, if you can afford it, you know, if you can carry out some end of season renovation from with the old ex-groundsman's hat on, then you'd always recommend that, because otherwise you're going to have underlying issues moving forward. I mean, a lot of grounds won't do it anyway, what I come across. I'm sure a lot of you guys do on there. So a lot of them won't do it anyway. But we need to keep it, say, the thatch and the organic matter under control. But like I say, there's so many variables at the moment, so we're refraining from actually giving some clear judgment on actually what you should be doing at the end of season. Because like I say, budgets are going to be very tight. And obviously, the first thing that's going to normally be affected is the ground. and obviously the priorities be lied elsewhere. So at the moment, we're kind of holding off on that in terms of what, cool. Like I say, just for, you know, if you could afford it, if I was a groundsman now and I could afford it, then, you know, I'd personally be looking to do it. But like I say, we'll be updating as and when in terms of what you should be doing throughout the months and throughout the end of the season. But I say there's just too many variables involved at the moment.
You answered my next question. I was just going to say, is the plan the GMA yet? Once we do get play, hopefully, or once the season comes to an end, you'll give a bit of more guidance or directive?
Yeah, the web page, the COVID-19 web page, that's going to be updated on a regular basis as and when. So the interim work should be updated on a monthly basis. The government guidance as well. So there's a really useful source of information on there. So that's going to be updated as and when. But like I say, we're at a time of year at the moment. We're just sort of concentrating on pre-season and early season. And like I say, but it should in theory be updated on a monthly basis in terms of what you should be looking to do. So as I say, always keep an eye on that, mate, to be honest with you.
Cheers, Phil. A good one from Bill, I think. What strategy would you put in place in autumn if there was no play this year?
Well, Phil's pretty much answered that one, hasn't he? We're talking about end of season renovations there. And like I say, as Phil says, if you can afford it, most people do some. You know, not everyone's got the right equipment for it. You know, we hire people in, you get contractors in. You know, contractors, they still need employment. You know, they'll still need work. So, you know, if we can support them, that'd be great. You know, I've been on the phone this morning to our local bloke to come in and do some. I booked him in for end of season renos at our place. You know, we need to support these people, obviously, if the finance is there. But, you know, if you can afford it, there'll be something to do. And if it's been regularly scarified, then it shouldn't be major, major work. But, you know, I think personally, you know, I don't know if Phil agrees with this, but, you know, missing one season of end of season renovations, if you've been doing proper maintenance through the summer, isn't the end of the world. You know, you may have to do a bit more at the end of the next season or beginning of the following season, but it's not something to get too hung up about, I don't think.
A lot of it, Stewie, is what you alluded to about knowing what's underneath the square, whether you've got any thatch or roof breaks or any issues underneath the square. So like I say, if you could get out and just, you know, examine what's underneath the square, you should be doing that, encouraging to do it anyway, normally. Now you've got a bit more time in your hands. So it's actually knowing what the underlying issues are with your square. But like you say, if you're sort of regular verticutting and that, you know, I could foresee that a lot of clubs will actually not be doing any full end of season renovations this year. It depends on the level you play at again. Say there's just a lot of things up in the air at the moment in terms of end of season renovations.
No, fair enough. Final question on the chat box is for you, Stu, a bit of a fan question. What rate did you spray Primal at on the square? I know it's 400 millimetres per HA for golf greens.
I sprayed it first up. I did it at half rate for us, which was about 800 mil per hectare. Then the second one, you know, I did it at 1.2. I didn't want to go too crazy because we're still in that dry spell we were. If the grass is longer, you can put it on it a little bit higher. Rate, but the general rule is something like 1 litre per hectare to give it control on the outfield. That should reduce your cuttings by about a third. That should do.
Brilliant, Chester. Prikey, all back over to you, mate.
Lovely. Thanks very much, everybody that's joined us tonight. 66, apparently. And obviously, as we've said already, we will get this out as a recording and we'll send it out. We'll put it on our county website. And I'm sure our colleagues in neighbouring counties will get the messages out. Obviously, Phil's not going to be around. You've got contacts which are going to be attached to this link if you're not already aware throughout your own counties. Do make use of us. Do make use of those contacts in your counties as well, who are very much there to help. Huge thanks to Stuart and to Phil for giving up their time tonight. And for something completely different, just to remind everyone that the next webinar is on Tuesday at midday on women and girls, and I'd urge you to get the message back to your clubs and get everyone joining in that seminar as well. But for now, stay safe and hope that's given you a lot of information to help.
Thank you. Thanks, chat. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, Stuart.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.